Hey, what's going on, Sports Rehab Expert World? Today we're back at you with another episode of the Sports Rehab Expert Success Show. And today's topic of discussion is brought to us by one of the members over in the Facebook group. So if you've not checked out that Facebook group, be sure to do so. It's free to join. It's called the Sports Rehab Expert Mentorship. Go ahead and Google that put that into the search on Facebook. You'll be able to find it and add yourself to a member. If you are listening to this on the podcast or if you're listening to this on YouTube, there's many different places where you can get a hold of me, reach in contact, and get some different information as far as how we go about treatment and utilization of exercise assessments within the sports rehab and the sports performance communities. Before we get into today's question, just want to kind of give a recap of last week. We had our first ever Sports Rehab Expert live course. This was a live course all about the lower extremity. Had a great time, had 8 people at this first inaugural course for Sports Rehab Expert. We plan to be holding a lot more of these in the future. Every member of that live course is going to get a recap of that through a video recording of the course as well. So when you attend the live course, you'll also get a online version of that course as well too. So be sure to check that out. Be on the lookout for future courses coming near you. If you would like to host a course, be sure to reach out to me at greg@sportsrehabexpert.com or send me a direct message through Facebook, and we can definitely set up a time, a location out in your direction and get the balls rolling there. So without further ado though, we'll get into today's topic. This one's brought to you by a member, Goran. Thanks for the question. He asks, what is my favorite low back exercises? Now, obviously, very general question, admittedly so, but what he wanted to just get a general sense as far as what's my thinking process going through my head when I choose exercises for different low back pain presentations. And I think that's a valid question. And sometimes what I get frustrated with in the profession a little bit is when you give out a question like that. It's a very valid question. You have some curiosity to want to know about what I do as far as my treatment process goes. If I ask that question, I'm curious to know what somebody else does in their particular setting. And I think the cop-out answer that everybody gives is it depends, because realistically it does. I know that's a good answer and it's a valid answer and it's a valid point, but it doesn't help anybody. So if you give those answers out, please just stop doing that, saying it depends. Everybody knows it depends. So start talking in different situations or different circumstances where you can actually provide some value for the person, please. So that's what I'm gonna try to do here today, is give you a little bit of value as far as what my thought process is going ahead when someone presents to me with low back pain. So my progression of thinking starts going at different levels. And what I want everybody to achieve is 3 basic kind of components to things. I talk a lot about the respiration, creating movement variability. I would say that's the foundational layer. On top of that is some type of strength fitness component. The third layer to that we're gonna kind of discuss is some type of dynamic component or some type of speed component to the equation. We wanna try to work these different qualities within individuals so they're more adaptable, more resilient to injury. So foundational layer, again, movement variability, triplanar motion, respiration. Second level is fitness, and then third level is some type of dynamic component, which is going to vary, obviously, depending individual person to person. But to give you a little bit more context with that, I don't necessarily think you're probably not going to want to start initially with that dynamic exercise or something that's a little bit more higher intense, especially if someone's seeing you first off in the rehabilitation room. Now, if you're in the strength and conditioning environment, yeah, maybe you can kind of start with that, those type of exercises. And get some buy-in and have some fun with your athletes that way, and build resiliency that way too. But a lot of times when I'm working with somebody, either after an injury, after a surgery, that's not going to be a place that I start. More likely where I'm going to start is some type of strength and conditioning program or movement variability, respiration component with that. Now, depending on the person, they may not be completely bought into the whole concept of breathing. For some individuals, that's a little bit more of a buy-in there that you have to create from them before you can get really in depth into that subject and how it can potentially help them out. But so oftentimes I'm actually starting with a strength and conditioning program. And I'm going to talk about a couple different exercises where you actually kind of trick the person into working some of the respiration qualities with an exercise because they fit in nicely with one another. So one of my favorite exercises that I use in a ton of different cases for a variety of different reasons, not just low back pain, but it's wall press abs. This is actually in the exercise roadmap ebook, both the ebook and the course that's associated with it as well too, that you can get your hands on if you'd like. But one of the exercises that I talk about there is wall press abs, and just the utility of that exercise is it's not really comparable to many other exercises because of how many different things you can work with it. So for those who aren't familiar, wall press abs are, you push into the wall, arms are overhead, and then it's kind of like a leg lowering activity where you extend the leg out and you kind of tap the foot to the ground and then you come back. You can do that both legs at the same time, or you can do it one leg at the other. I'm gonna link these exercises into the webpage as well too. So if you're a member of Sports Rehab Expert, I'll put the videos of these exercises as well too for you on that page. Essentially that's what it is. I'm pushing into the wall and I'm extending a leg out there. So what I'm doing is I can manipulate lever arms. So I can manipulate a short lever arm and a long lever arm. So the further I take my arms overhead pushing into that wall, the longer lever arm I create from the upper extremity, kind of get into an overhead pressing motion while I'm laying on my back there with that. From the lower extremity standpoint, the further I take my leg out away from the body, the longer the lever arm becomes too. So I could keep a bent knee and tap the ground, or I could extend that leg all the way out straight and never tap the ground, which would be a long lever arm. I could do that with a single leg, or I could do that with two legs and add more load to it to create more demand on my core to kind of keep itself stable, or it's an anti-extension movement to create positional control as we dissociate hip and arm movement. So great movement variability exercises, teaches coordination and dissociation of the trunk from its appendages. And it teaches thorax position as well too, is thorax in relationship to pelvis position. So as you extend the arms or the legs, do you want to revert to an extension-based strategy, which is a lordosis or a anterior migration of the lower rib cage? And we're trying to prevent that from occurring. So what the wall allows me to do is it allows me to push into the wall and retract my thorax, keep it flush with my abdomen, keep it stacked nice and top over the pelvis, keep that movement, and then dissociate my appendages from there. So it works a lot of different good qualities for someone who's dealing with low back, and it's very, very modifiable to anybody who is in pain or discomfort or fitness level. The other thing you can do with this exercise is start including respiration without the person really recognizing what you're trying to do at that point in time. So what I often do with this is anytime the legs are up, you inhale. Every time the legs are exhaling and on a down and back, sorry, anytime the legs are moving, you are exhaling on that down and back motion of the legs. So that whole entire time I'm exhaling. So I'm getting a little bit longer of an exhale than I am of the inhale just because of the exercise. So I don't have to really coach that much. And I can just tell them to exhale and keep breathing and keep moving air volume with the exercise. Don't hold your breath with the exercise. And I get some respiration qualities there too. Now what's nice about it is the exercise already teaches somebody to retract the thorax. So we're already emphasizing that point with the exercise. And with respiration, they're not getting true bucket handle and pump handle action at the thorax. What we'll see is the lower rib cage, which should be bucket handling on inspiration. It may actually start to pump handle and start to flare forward, and you get that center of mass shifting forward and increased lordosis occurring from the inhale. So now, because the exercise is already taught and told the person that we want to retract the thorax, now we can start showing them how respiration plays a role into rib cage position, and pelvic position. It's an exercise that lends its hand well to a teaching point that makes it very, very useful and an easy segue into how to start including respiration with exercises. So that's a very foundational level exercise that I love to utilize with a lot of different clients. Now certainly you could pick that with any other type of abdominal based activity. You could do that with a, say like a supine hook lying glute bridge, where you focus on nice slow controlled movements, maybe add a pause in there at the top, making sure they're not getting the glute bridge through their back and they're actually posterior pelvic tilting, using their glutes and hamstrings to lift their hips up and not their back to lift their hips up, first and foremost there. And then as you add the pause at the top, now you can maybe start introducing some the breathing qualities to the equation as well too. So two very low level exercises that allow me to work a lot of different qualities at once, and certainly there are progressions off of that exercise as well too that you can make more and more challenging. So in general, I'm thinking of lower level exercises that I can start improving motor control, coordination, sensory body awareness of the position, and triplanar movement. So that would be an anterior core exercise. The glute bridge is a hip hinge version that's progressed on the floor on the table. That's very, very simple. We can start talking about different motions of the hip at different angles too. So a lot of people will hate on your typical clamshell open chain exercises that are on the table because they're not quote unquote functional. But you can actually make a clamshell very, very functional. So this is another lower level exercise that I like to get to, is the foot on the wall clamshell. And what this does is it's just your typical banded band above the kneecaps, hip external rotation, creating the clamshell exercise. But when we put our foot on the wall, what that does is it gives us a little bit of the proprioceptive feedback that we would be doing if we were standing and doing quote unquote an on your feet functional exercise. And what the foot allows us to do is it allows us to understand how to create torque from our hip from a stable platform of the foot being on the ground, or in this case, because we're side lying on the floor, foot is on the wall. So that external rotation of the hip with the foot in contact of the wall, you have to keep heel, big toe, little toe on the wall, pronate the foot, and then create hip external rotation, which creates relative tibial internal rotation mechanically. That is very, very similar to a squat. When you squat down, you want the whole foot on the ground. You're gonna keep that foot stable, pressure into the ground as you push your knees slightly out. Don't go to the extreme of knees going way out to the side. We don't need that. Knees just go straight over top of the foot. But you're creating torque from the foot and from the hip. And what the clamshell, that lower level exercise of the clamshell does is it teaches someone how to do that, because the foot is on the wall. Now you have a resistance band above the knees and they're externally rotating from there, but creating torque from the foot and the hip. So it's a nice exercise that then starts leading up to that next foundational number two, where I'm talking about strength and conditioning program. Because when we're adding strength and conditioning exercises, we want to still think about thorax position, we want to still think about pelvis position, and we want to still think about where are they feeling the particular muscles contracting to accomplish this task of an exercise. So I'm taking all those concepts that I've taught on the ground, which is why I use a lot of ground-based activities, because it's easier for me to teach thorax position, pelvis position, and dissociation of appendages when you're in more of a supported ground position. There's certain clinicians out there who think everything needs to be functional, so everything has to be on your feet. And there's a lot of things happening that you have to sequence when you're on your feet. And if you don't have the coordination or the awareness to coordinate all those appendages moving, sometimes things get lost in the mix and you're not performing an exercise in the most optimal fashion possible. So I see this all as just being in combination, working well with one another. But with the strength-based exercises, we have to get to some type of squat. We have to get to some type of hip hinge. We have to get to some type of lunge. And within that, we need to vary the stances. So we need to do a bilateral stance. We need to do a split stance. We need to do a single leg stance. We need to get some lateral and maybe transverse plane moving with the lunges as well too, just so we expose the person to more and more tasks to get them a little bit more aware of how to move their body in space. So those are all foundation movements that you can do body weight, and then start progressively adding some load to the equation too, so you can build strength, hypertrophy, and power. So when you look at my programs, they probably don't look too sexy on paper as far as the exercise is concerned. What looks sexy is how in depth and detailed they become. So the exercises we've gone over are probably no different than stuff that you've seen in the past, where it's, you know, wall press abs, just how I coach it and the very specific nature and how I utilize that exercise is very, very different than some who are just kind of, less mindful, we'll say, when doing that exercise. Same thing with all the different ground-based exercises for that matter too. There's very, very specific reasons I'm doing them for, and I'm very, very intentful in how I coach them and how they're performed. I demand a lot from my clients so that they recognize the importance of all the nuances to it, because if they can do it on the ground, then they can do it on their feet. If they can't do it on the ground, more than likely they're not gonna be able to do it on their feet. So we have to teach all these little intricacies with lower level exercises before we can start taking them to the big movements that we know and we're all familiar with, which is a squat, deadlift, lunge. And just understand that there's different positions that you can perform those exercises into. So with back pain, I like getting everybody to be able to perform a hip hinge. That's obviously very, very important, so that we're not picking up things that are heavy and in suboptimal fashion. Same thing with squatting. Allows us to do a functional movement on our feet that we're going to use day in and day out. And then it allows us to start loading it to build capacity, strength, hypertrophy, and endurance, which is the body armor of a human being. So we have to get to those exercises. Now we want the individual to be more variable with those exercises. So we put them in a split stance. We put them in an offset foot stance. We make a move laterally in the frontal plane. We make a move in the transverse plane doing some type of external rotation movement. We start manipulating tempos with that exercise to elicit some different demands, whether that's the eccentric, concentric, or isometric component of the exercise. These are all variables that you can play around with the activity to elicit a different outcome with the individual. And finally, I talked about the dynamic exercises that we want to start doing too. Depending on the person, if it's an athlete, yes, you need to get to some type of athletic movement, which any type of athletic movement involves acceleration, deceleration, and then re-acceleration. But even with the general population, we still need to emphasize those qualities to a certain extent, because if we're talking about longevity of the individual or robustness or resiliency of the individual as a human being, if we take someone up to that next level, that top tier of that pyramid that I described, number three, and they can do that well, and they can do that competently, safely, and efficiently, it makes everything else they do in life that much simpler. So things to think about is, if a squat looks good, we talked about manipulating tempo, right? Maybe I use some type of band and focus on the concentric power output and how fast they can move a bar or move the band resisted or accommodating resistance, and focus on the concentric contraction, how fast can they stand up out of a squat. That is a very, very nice way to display power, and it's different than always just going heavier with a movement. Same thing with a deadlift. I could do a band resisted deadlift with the hex bar, let's say, and I can focus on maybe lowering the load, but focusing on making the movement quicker. Not only is that more demand for the coordination to maintain proper position and form with the exercise, but it also forces me to display more power output in a faster, smaller amount of time by being quicker with it. That's another novel experience for the body, as opposed to just getting heavier and heavier, which as you get heavier, the lift gets slower and slower. Doing things faster, especially for athletics, is very important, but also for just general life purposes as well too. Being able to display power and force quickly, that makes you a more nimble human being. So getting to those type of things. Don't think you always have to progress load. You can progress speed or change the tempo up to elicit a different effect in the individual. And then maybe you get to some type of hopping exercise with a general population, depending on, again, a lot of different circumstances. Or maybe you do get to some vertical jumping component with the general population. You can use bands again to help make it easier. So say I want to do a broad jump with the general population, and I'm a little hesitant about including it just because of the amount of force that needs to happen. I could put a band around their waist. They're jumping into the band, and then they're landing out away, but that band will decelerate the impact slightly and slow down the movement to where it's not going to be as forceful. So I can start introducing more plyometric activities sooner with people in a more safe fashion, because the band slows the movement down. They have to overcome a more inertia if they're jumping out into the band, and then the band's going to slow them down, so it's not as much of a deceleration concern as much there either. Now, obviously, there's maybe some things you want to do in between to coach somebody to safely do that, and not everybody is right for that particular exercise, but that is something that you can do safely with a decent amount of number of general population clients. Not saying everybody, but a decent amount. And that adds another layer, another component to it, another layer of resiliency. With athletes, that is definitely something you should be able to go to, and you probably can get there sooner than a lot of people are already taking someone there, or they're just doing strength training movements, and then all of a sudden they're going into a full bore plyometric activity, and they haven't actually progressed someone through some plyometric activities again too. So that's a long-winded answer, and it doesn't necessarily give you too many exercises, but it gives you my thought process of how I select exercises. Again, there's so many things you can find online. The exercises, there's not many more new exercises that somebody can give you. What somebody can give you is the critical thinking and the analysis of the exercise, how to utilize it, how to get the most out of the activity. And that's where I think my biggest benefit to you would come in, is recognizing those type of things. So the exercises we talked about are probably all exercises you've heard before, which, wall press ab, glute bridge, clamshell, squat, lunge, hip hinge, deadlift, and then a low level plyometric exercise. Those are all things you've probably heard before, but to the extent and to the how in depth that I get with them, we just talked about a lot of layers that you want to think about as far as positioning of ribcage and pelvis, tempo, how to manipulate concentric and eccentric variables. Those type of programming components, looking into that is really where you're going to be next level in your ability to get results as a clinician or coach, and your ability to coach those exercises to elicit those results is very important too. So it's not important just to now recognize all these different qualities that you can train with somebody with some of these common exercises that you've seen, but also can you coach them in a way that gets that outcome too? And that takes experience, it takes skill, and it takes practice with actually doing it with clients. You can't just keep listening to podcasts, you can't just keep searching things on YouTube and thinking you're gonna be able to apply it all. You have to actually apply the information in your practice so you can get better at using the information. Information is only as good as the amount that you apply to it. So I hope that is useful. If you need more elaboration on certain concepts there, feel free to reach out to me. If you want another specific question answered, again, type it into the Facebook group, send me an email at greg@sportsrehabexpert.com, and we'll be sure to get to it. But again, my bigger answer to that question is three layers: some low-level movement variability, respiratory component and how that exercise then can lead into some type of foundational exercise, strength training, hypertrophy, and power-based exercise, and then get the exercise a little bit more dynamic. So that's my general thought process when I'm dealing with anybody with low back pain, and quite honestly, with any particular injury for that matter, we're going through that type of progression as well too.